In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. He, again, the Lord representing his government in the earth through these stewards of the grace of God. Okay, in recognition of these stewards, you're recognizing the headship. Okay, you're recognizing Jesus Christ. Without the stewardship, you're not recognizing the headship. Okay, so anything that is not in recognition of the headship, okay, is considered outside or severed, okay, or worshiping of angels. Okay, as of course as the Apostle Paul brings out in Colossians. Okay, but here we can see the tethering. Okay, how in recognition, okay, through the stewardship that Christ is being acknowledged and worshipped. Okay, now to get to this point, okay, we read here in verse 10. I'm gonna go back just for a moment here. In verse 10, he says, "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." Now coming into this dimension, okay, he was setting a new pattern within himself. Okay, so that by this new pattern, we begin to enter to a new experience of a new covenant, a different covenant, the second covenant. Okay, that which was purchased with his blood. Okay, and that which is purchased with his blood, okay, these were the things which he told his apostles. Okay, he that rejects you rejects really not you but me, the one that sent you. So we see the connection between the calling and the headship. Okay, the headship of the Godhead. Okay, we see the connection there. Okay, without this joining, okay, and without the stewardship, okay, they're severed from the head. Okay, so in revelations that precede, okay, but are not joined to the headship of Christ, okay, will lead the soul astray. Okay, will lead the soul wandering there. Okay, and of course he brings that out in Colossians. Okay, which I'm turning to right now in Colossians chapter 2. Okay, now things which aren't joined to the headship, okay, will then come into a secondary category, okay, which is called the commandments of men, doctrines and commandments of men, okay, which he brings out in Colossians 2, and around verse 22, so which are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Okay, that is those which are embracing the headship through the stewardship, okay, because God represents himself through the vessels which he sanctifies and which he chooses, okay, as we see also in the Old Covenant, okay, whereas those things which are spoken by Moses, okay, which was given to the people, was in respect to God who initiated it, okay, was in respect to him. So they that reject the government, or those that reject the stewardship, also deny the government. Okay, and those that deny that deny Christ. Okay, now back in Ephesians here. Okay. Oops. One second here. All right, we'll just keep going. Okay, for the perfecting of the saints. So we can see that the stewardship is for this purpose. Okay, through this form of engagement, okay, your growth, okay, is affected. And of course, the Apostle Paul brings this same thing out, okay, in his other epistles, as concerning this form of engagement. Okay, now for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, okay, because without the understanding, okay, there is nothing to build. Okay, without this understanding, there's nothing to build, because we're all supposed to contribute upon the house of the Lord. Okay, and we're all also to understand what our priesthood is. Okay, because our priesthood is not ordered after Abraham, is ordered after Melchizedek, okay, but the promises are ordered after Abraham, okay, in the fulfillment, okay, of the record which Jesus provided for us, okay, concerning grace, faith, okay, righteousness, and the seal. Okay, but the grace, faith, righteousness, and seal, okay, was that pattern which was fulfilled in the flesh, but the priesthood through Melchizedek, okay, that is with spiritual things. Understanding this priesthood now, we're going on to perfection. Okay, going on to perfection has to do with that. We're utilizing this knowledge. Okay, without utilizing this knowledge, you come into a position of stagnation. Okay, or coming to a point of planing off, plateauing. And all of us felt that at one period of time or another when we were in the false religious system. Okay, within that, after receiving the illumination of grace, which we received gladly, we felt at that point a force of improvement, that we're able to progress. But the knowledge which we have received for repentance, was only engaging to that point. But beyond that, it did not assist us. See, it didn't strengthen us with all might. As the Apostle Paul brings out, being strengthened with all might. I mean, God assists us by that power. Okay, and without understanding how to cooperate with the government of God, with the government, truth, and spirit, gifts, calling, grace of God, and prayer, preaching, and prophecy in your priesthood, that form of knowledge prior to coming into covenant with God, became stagnant and unprofitable, and we became frustrated. Okay, and at that point of time, we began to question the reality of our true experience or of our first experience. And the Apostle John brings it out in his letter in the book of Revelation. Okay, whereas he says to those of Thyatira, I know your works and your charity and your service and your faith. Okay, and your patience and your works and lasting more than the first. Okay, here he's talking about a priesthood that began being profitable for your faith, but at a point of time became disjointed from the Godhead, through other knowledge. And we can see this in the Jezebelian ministry. This saint, used that gift which God gave to her, for the purpose of things centering upon a gift rather than government. It must center upon government, not a gift. And we can see this unfolded today in many ministries today. That the angel of the Lord works with a particular individual, but then you notice that even though healings may take place, yet there's no perfection of faith in the saints. But we see the perfection of the saints join the government, as we see in verse 11. See verse 12 and 11 there? 11 and verse 12. 11 and verse 12. But in verse 12, there's nothing about miracles, healings, anything else, which we read about there in the book of Corinthians, the nine gifts of the Spirit, but instead it's joined to government. it's through government and through that stewardship that the faith of the saints is made perfect because it has an environment where it can be expressed with. Without that environment, your faith will be crippled. Or become impotent, as the Apostle James brings out. Faith without works is dead. So faith has to be joined to a form of activity in order for it to be made perfect. And same thing with charity. Charity, if it's not expressed or not utilized to the priesthood, becomes dormant. And so also is the work of regeneration. The work of regeneration is halted because there's no form of activity by which the soul can be improved with. As it continues to go through your cycles of growth. So in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, then it comes to that point, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So you can see the progression of this work, beginning with government. So when Jesus gave a charge to his apostles, they were to carry that same charge to those which would come in covenant by the words which they would speak. The knowledge which they would share, and the words which they would speak would be the benefit to those which would hear, as we see in the day of Pentecost. And they asked a question on the day of Pentecost. what are we supposed to do? They asked there in Acts chapter 2. What should we do to be saved? And Peter, now you notice they came to the right person, because Peter engaged them. Peter represented the house of God. Peter represented the house of Jesus Christ. Which house we're being joined to, we're building with. We're building the house of Jesus, which that of the Spirit. Which temple now we possess, as the Apostle Paul brings out there in Corinthians. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now let's go here to verse 13. till we all come into unity. Now, the word till there, okay, is not as concerning at a point of time. At a point of time, we no longer need the apostles' office. Because if that was true, then we no longer need the pastor's office, the teacher's office, nor the evangelist's office. Okay, so those in a false religious system, looking at the word till in verse 13, came to the conclusion that the apostles' office was no longer necessary, that we have the Bible. Okay, now, how did they come to that conclusion? Okay, well, of course, we know that seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, okay, assisted them, okay, with that expounding and translation, because they were severed from the government of God. They were tethered to the wrong kingdom. Okay, and tethered to the wrong kingdom, okay, they interpreted things in the light of darkness, which Jesus also said to the Pharisees. If that light be in you, be darkness, and how great is that darkness? Because everything was interpreted by precept for the improvement of the moral code, absence of faith and covenant. Okay, everything was interpreted. Okay, everything interpreted by the precept. The precept was joined to the moral code, and the moral code, okay, being severed, of course, from the covenant. Okay, they were put in a position of unrighteousness. Of course, Jesus brought that to their attention, that you're of your father, the devil. Okay, you're tethering. Okay, that which you're tethered to is also what you perceive things by. Okay, you're trying to deserve me from Satan's tethering. And trying to do that, you're only going to see a carpenter's son. And you're not going to see and behold the Messiah. You're only going to perceive and look at the carpenter's son. All right, and being amazed at these things which I'm saying, you're saying, well, we know that you are born of fornication, okay, and that you're of the devil. You're Samaritan, you're of the devil, and you're born of fornication. Okay, that was the conclusions they came to, being tethered to Satan's kingdom. Okay, because their whole perception was based on preserving that moral code, which they wanted to use as a record for faith. Okay. Abraham didn't do that. Abraham followed the record of the revelation of the Spirit, okay, which was granted to him. And that's why we're called children of Abraham and not children of Moses. Okay, if we were children of Moses, then we'd be those which are upholding the moral code, okay, which the moral code would follow the traditions of the law, okay, because the law addressed the conditions of man and his frailty. Okay, but grace and truth addresses our faith. Okay, the gospel of the moral code is tethered to darkness. Okay, that which is tethered to darkness, okay, is the gospel that kills, steals, and destroys. The gospel that addresses the moral code robs the heart of faith. Okay, and it kills, steals, and destroys. Why? Because it's addressing man's survival. Okay, that man puts him using the precept for the moral code to set himself in a position, okay, that's favorable, that has to do with circumstances. Favorable circumstances for his survival. Peace, prosperity, and health and well-being. Okay, kill, steal, and then destroy. Okay, the gospel, okay, the gospel of Satan, okay, follows that same identical pattern. Okay, robbing the heart of faith. Okay, misdirecting. Okay, they say the God code into the moral code rather than the faith. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the God code joined to faith equals righteousness. Okay, the prosperity of the soul. Okay, the prosperity of the soul, justification. Okay, of faith, for the just shall live by faith. So you can see the two different gospels. Okay, one gospel, which is that of man. The other gospel is that which is of God. Okay, and Paul, and that's why Paul brings out in Galatians that I receive it not of men, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we see the two different gospels. Okay, that which is tethered to darkness, okay, which robs the heart of faith, and sets man in the conditions of condemnation, is that which kills, steals, and destroys. Okay, the gospel of condemnation. Okay, which only addresses the condition of man in the moral code and tries to bring remedy, okay, through the law of Moses. That's why those which are anchored to the law are condemned by the law. those which are anchored to Christ are justified by faith, are justified by Christ. Okay, so we have two different gospels, okay, one of light, one of darkness, one of condemnation, okay, and the other of free will, okay, which means we are free to serve God, okay, by the law of liberty, the law of Jesus Christ, the law of grace. Okay, so this is why the Apostle Paul even says to the Galatians, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Okay, this only when I learned of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Okay, the flesh, the carnal gospel, that was just those things which are anchored in Moses. Because everything in the moral code is anchored in that tradition. Okay, anchored in the law of Moses. Okay, and those things which are of that law, those portions of that law, which cannot bring perfection. Okay, we're anchored in His fullness, which brings which now brings perfection for your faith. Okay, which the Apostle John brings out in his first gospel, and in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Okay, whereas he says, "For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Okay, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, or grace upon grace, faith upon faith, okay, righteousness upon righteousness. Okay, so we can see that we can see the cycles of that: grace and for grace, faith and for faith, okay, righteousness for righteousness, justification for justification, okay, and glory unto glory. Okay, we can see that glory, okay, is the praise of His glory, which is tethered and anchored in Christ. Okay, we now are of His fullness, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. Now, of course, now this is what Paul brings out in the first chapter of Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. Okay, so you can connect that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23 with that which I just spoke of earlier there in the Gospel of John. Okay, Gospel of John chapter 1, okay, which is around verse 15 and 16. Okay, 14, 15, and 16. Okay, so let's go back here. Okay, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We can see that these spiritual things is what we are resourcing for the building up of the soul. Okay, so that your soul will carry the substance of Christ in you presently. Okay, in the second covenant, okay, which will also bring you into the fullness of the third covenant. Okay, because that which is being birthed in you now and nurtured in you now is what you'll be rewarded with for the third covenant. Okay, the rewards, he that overcomes, okay, the overcomer's rewards are identical and for every saint. Okay, that overcomes. Okay, but the other rewards, as concerning the other issuing powers, has to do with that fruit that you're bearing now. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Okay, so Jesus speaks of these two rewards. Okay, Jesus Himself speaks of these two rewards, as also the Apostle Paul in the book of Revelation, okay, which they build on. Okay, the apostles built on that revelation of John being the chief apostle. Okay, and all their epistles bear that, okay, of that which John had received, okay, in confirmation of what they're expounding and expanding on, okay, as what the seven thunders uttered in the book of Revelation, okay, is what the apostles build on, okay, in their epistles. Well, let's go on here. So for by this we're coming unto the fullness of Christ, the stature, the fullness of the stature of Christ. We see that in verse 13. So the word till right there doesn't mean in conclusion of, but for the progression of, not in the conclusion of. So if he's speaking in conclusion of, there would be no need for government. And if there's no need for government, there would be no need for neither pastor nor teacher nor evangelist. Okay, there would be no need for an evangelist. Whether you're evangelizing, if there's need for evangelists, there's also need for apostles. There's need for pastors, and there's also need for apostles. There's need for teachers, and there's need for apostles. You just can't take verse 11 and slice it up any way you want, okay, what you feel is beneficial, okay, beneficial for your own congregation. Okay, these are all working together, okay, and we can see that we are building upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being Himself the chief cornerstone. That foundation which the apostles is building okay, is which all the other callings work with and confirm. And this is what the Apostle Paul is bringing out. So in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now he says the faith right there in verse 13, he's talking about is concerning the doctrine of your persuasion. We can see three manifestations of faith being which will be brought out here. Okay, that which is the activity, that which is the fruit bearing, and that which is also the doctrine. Okay, the activity of faith. Okay, that we all come in one faith in verse 5. Okay, one faith, that's the activity of your faith. This is the faith that you're increasing with. Okay, if you're not increasing your faith, then you're transgressing against God. This is what Paul brings out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, okay, he brings out is concerning the that we have to increase in faith, and he says also abounding in charity. Okay, increasing in faith and abounding in charity. Which he brings out here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay, and that's in chapter 3, or not chapter 1, verse 3. Right, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. I'm reading verse 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. As it is meet, because that your faith does what? Your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you towards each other abounds. Now, how does Paul measure this? He measures this by the faith. This is what we do. Okay, because he that is spiritual judges all things. He himself is judged of no man. Okay, and by saying that, the Apostle Paul brings that out in Corinthians. Okay, and let's jump over there just for a second. And that's in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or in chapter 2. But he that is spiritual judges all things. I'm in verse 15. But he himself is judged of no man. Let's go to verse 14 first, because in verse 14 it talks about the natural man. Now the natural man, okay, is the carnal-minded man. The natural man, he used the word natural there to identify that the carnal-minded man works with physical things. Okay, the carnal-minded man works with physical things. But the spiritual man works with spiritual things. As the Apostle Paul also makes references to, okay, well, in his other epistle there in Colossians, where he says, touch not, taste not, handle not. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which shall perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Okay, it's the same thing he brings out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. Now, the word things right there has to do with the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, and spirit, which we talk about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. All right, prayer, preaching, and prophecy. Okay, we're not talking about any kind of prophecy. We're not just talking about any kind of preaching. Okay, we're talking about that which is the foundation and the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Covenant. Okay, covenant, government, truth, spirit. Okay, those things which continually affirm Christ. This is a true testimony which we speak of, and the prophecy which we are speaking by and confirming. This is what's brought out in the book of Revelation, right? As concerning the spirit of prophecy and the test, they have the testimony or by the spirit of prophecy and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, they prophesy, all prophesy confirming Christ. He is our testimony, not Moses. Moses is not our testimony. Jesus is our testimony, by which all the prophets prophesy by, okay, which will be speaking here shortly as we bring forth level one prophecy. We're testifying of Christ. These are the spiritual things by which we judge. Okay, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, gifts to callings and graces of God, okay, which we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, which he's bringing these things out now in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, because he's bringing the Corinthians' understanding along to help them to see the gifts to callings and graces of God. That's why he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I would not you be ignorant. These things are necessary for your discernment. Okay, and in verses 4, 5, and 6. He's talking about the gifts, the callings, and the graces. Verses 4, 5, and 6. These are the spiritual things which the carnal-minded deny. Okay, because they want everything. The gospel, the carnal-minded, the natural man being carnal-minded, centers upon himself. That is the condition of his moral code. The gospel which he preaches kills, steals, and destroys because it's addressing the moral code of man and not faith. Okay, he's setting a standard by his own record and not by the record of Jesus Christ. Okay, that is the spirit of Antichrist. Okay, which the apostles or which Apostle John brings out. Okay, they went out from us. They denied government, but they were not of us as concerning the work of regeneration. But they have been of us concerning government, truth, and spirit. They will now no doubt have continued with us. Okay, but they went out. They might be being manifested. They were not all of us. They did not carry the mark of Christ within them, neither did behold the face of Christ. But they tried to improve their spiritual life. Okay, that is as concerning the moral code, because the moral code was was speaking the conscience. Okay, the conscience being defiled was crying out for purity. Okay, and yet it could not. Yet there's no purity there because they're using the moral code for that purity. So they had to use the other finger on the balance there to bring equity. To bring equity there, putting their finger on the balance. To try to bring balance to the moral code. Okay, and all it did is wrought confusion. Okay. Okay, I was going to go over this way. Okay, so we said verses 4, 5, and 6, government, truth, and spirit. Okay, now we go back to Ephesians. So let's jump to Ephesians there again. Okay, so we gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. It's with these tools. Okay, whereas your faith is made perfect. So we remember we talked about two kinds of faith. The faith, the doctrine of persuasion, and also the word faith here, which has to do with the activity of your faith. This is what you must increase with. So if you're not increasing in your faith, then there is a barrier there. Where is that barrier? How did that barrier get there? It got there by false knowledge, okay, by preachers of unrighteousness. Preachers of unrighteousness, okay, which, in other words, the righteousness which they preach is that of the moral code, okay, which kills, steals, and destroys. But those which preach righteousness preach Christ, which Paul brings out here, is preaching Christ's fullness, that we continue to abide in that through the priesthood which Jesus provided for us after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, the spiritual things. So the natural man will will debate with the spiritual man, because the natural man is carnal-minded. Okay, he's trying to base his confidence. Okay, he's trying to base his confidence in the moral code, where ours is with faith. Okay, now, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. This is when he says the faith right here, in the unity, he says we're all of one mind, only established upon this one stone, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. All right, and we know that the faith is of the knowledge of the Son of God, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. This is a knowledge that's holy, because it's not born of man's nature, it's born of God. Okay, this knowledge is holy because it did not spring from the soil, it came from the throne. This knowledge is holy because as we embrace this knowledge, our faith is increasing. Your faith only can increase with the holy knowledge. Okay, but the moral code can only prosper and benefit the earthly knowledge. That's called the wisdom of man. Your faith does not stand in the wisdom of man, but where? In the power of God. Okay, and this is what Paul brings out in Corinthians. Okay, and that's in 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. Okay, and my speech and my preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom. Now, when he says man's wisdom, he's talking about the knowledge of this world, that man is trying to direct your religious experience with carnal things. Okay, using the types and shadows. Okay, it has a form of knowledge, okay, absent of the power. Okay, the enticing words of man's wisdom, okay, but in demonstration of spirit and power. This is what we're experiencing. The demonstration, which has to do with that, we're setting forth our experience by the Spirit, but in demonstration, coming forth and manifesting itself in the assembly. of the Spirit and of power. This is the angel that sanctifies this knowledge, okay, that works with your faith, that increases you in fruit. Okay, and increasing in fruit, we're abounding, okay, unto glory and to glory. Okay, we're bounding unto glory and to glory, as of course the Apostle Paul brings out in chapter 1 of Corinthians, that according as written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31. He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Okay, he that glories, if you're going to build, let's build by the light of the Spirit. Okay, if you're going to build, not by carnal things, because everything that's of the moral code is tethered to the earth, is tethered to, being tethered to the earth, okay, it works envy and strife. And this is what Paul brings out also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as in the spiritual, but as in carnal, even as the babes in Christ. Okay? I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Why? Why can't you bear the meat now? It's because you still have your hands, you're still working with the doctrine of Nicolaitans. Okay, you're still working with earthly things. You're trying to perfect your faith in Christ, okay, with carnal things, and it won't work. You can't work with water and fire at the same time. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you're not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, because you can't discern between these two kingdoms, for you are yet carnal. And this is what Paul is telling the Corinthians who were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Okay, they spoke in tongues. We can see that. That's why Paul brings it out. Okay, in chapter 13. Okay, in chapter 13 particularly. Chapter 12 about the gift. Okay, and chapter 13 talks about its working. Okay, they could not understand the place value of speaking in tongues because they severed the experience from the government, and they severed the experience from the work of regeneration. And by severing the experience from the government and from the work of regeneration, it stood alone. And it says, well, I don't have to speak in tongues to be saved. Okay, now that's what the sand people preach. See, the sand people preach that because being severed from government, they don't see the place value of this work of the Spirit. All right, but Paul brings out in the book of Romans, okay, that it's necessary in Romans chapter 8. Okay, because in Romans chapter 8, okay, which if you want to jump over there real quickly, in Romans chapter 8, it talks about its place value. Okay, it talks about its concerning the works and the healing of our infirmities. Okay, in Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Now he's talking about those the Roman Christians are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, but they're working with government. That's why he's writing this epistle. He's writing this epistle to those who are under his stewardship. Okay, now if they weren't under his stewardship, then this right here would be to whomsoever, and to whomsoever would pick it up and try to make application with it. In fact, they won't be able to make head nor tails out of it because they didn't enter into the experience, okay, of the covenant. If you enter the experience of the covenant, then this is applicable to you. If you're not in the experience of the covenant, then this is not going to make sense to you. Okay, so you're just only going to select scriptures that make sense to the moral code, okay, and not use those things which are beneficial for your faith, which is everything. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now he says our petitions are very restrictive. Okay, the moral code, okay, prayer that's apart from the covenant of Christ, okay, is restricted only to the moral code, which means they're always asking God for forgiveness. They're always asking God to try to you could say, order things according to the orbit of their moral code, so that they will have peace and rest. Okay, that itself speaks they're not in covenant with God. Because okay, all their petitions and their whole gospel centers upon their comfort zones, okay, their peace and security. Okay, but the gospel which we preach, being centered upon Christ, okay, works in increasing your faith, and that which is far beyond exceeding great, as Peter brings out, as concerning the exceeding greatness of his glory. Okay, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, being restricted because of the flesh. But the Spirit, seeing that we're engrafted in Him by covenant, itself makes intercession for us. This is where you're praying in tongues for. Okay, with groanings which cannot be uttered, and its groanings cannot be understood or put within the text of our own language. Okay, that's why God gives us a new language. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, according to that power. And that power is initiating change within us as we're cooperating with him. That's why we're strengthened with all might. He's assisting us by this power so that we walk by faith and we begin to know him. And we know that all things work together for good. Now, the working together for good is that the joining of these two powers, our faith with the tools, okay, working together for good to them that love God. All right, the joining together of these two powers, okay, as concerning faith in these tools in your priesthood, then it's going to work assisted to them who are called. Now, if you're the people that are reading this apart from the covenant are not the called. Okay, what they're doing is that they're selecting this and making application to themselves for the moral code. This application here is with faith. God code plus faith equals increase. But the God code with the moral code works ruin, confusion, and death. Okay, because it's unsanctified. Okay, the God code, okay, that which God has initiated, okay, for the fulfillment of his plan, if it's attached to the moral code, works ruin. But that which God has set forth and initiated for the increase of his kingdom must be joined to faith, that which is sanctified. Because that which is sanctified will not work death, it will work life. Okay, it will not work uncleanness, okay, it will work purity, because he that is pure understands all things. Okay, unto the pure all things are pure. Now, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, together. So I underline the word together there in Romans 8:28. This is important because people have always, and those of the moral code, whose anchor is not in Christ, but is anchored in the moral code here. Okay, look at the word together as concerning things which are circumstantial. And remember how we're all guilty of that? Okay, before we came into covenant, when we said the word work together, we always look at it as the moral code and favorable circumstances. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with faith joined to terms, to tools and the terms and the terms and articles of this covenant for the increase of the kingdom of God. It says according to his purpose, not ours. Okay? So the gospel of the sand people, okay, is always centered upon the moral code and self-improvement, health, wealth, and well-being. That's why when you read 3 John 2, you notice that when he preached out of the gospel of 3 John, they read 3 John 2 and says, when he says that you may prosper and be in health, even if you're so prosperous, what did they think about the word prosperity? They joined the word prosperity to the moral code, which is joined to health, wealth, and well-being. And that gospel kills, steals, and destroys, because it centers upon the things that are short-sighted. Okay, and that's what the Apostle Peter brings out. But he that is blind, okay, as Peter brings out, he that is blind, being short-sighted, is condemned. Okay, this knowledge works to the condemnation. Okay, this knowledge works for our faith. But to those that are anchored in a moral code, it works for their condemnation. But those which read this knowledge, which are in covenant, works to the increase of the kingdom of God. You can see the two different kingdoms right here. Okay? So the Spirit which we're working with now, seeing that we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, that you're praying in tongues, right, and using the tools of the covenant, not just using the selected, you're using the whole arsenal. The whole arsenal is for your priesthood. That's why Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. You're using the whole arsenal in your priesthood to overcome yourself, Satan, and the world. All right, those which are anchored, have their anchor in the moral code, they're not overcoming themselves. These are the people that are still struggling with the unpurged conscience. And it continually cries out against them. That's why they're always running into the altar. And you hear from the pulpit the gospel of condemnation. The gospel of condemnation never saved anybody. Okay, all it did was you could say, lash the soul with forms of knowledge for contrition. Okay, so that they would want to at that point in time try to resolve the condition of their soul. That yes, I'm a bad person. Oh yes, I need Jesus. Yes, I run to the altar. Oh Lord, help me. And that's the cycle, condemnation to condemnation. That's the natural man. See. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for there's foolishness unto him, which means they can't see its place of value and its work. So they condemn apostles, which is government. They condemn tongues, which is a spirit. And truth, they say, it can't be attainable, so let's be ecumenical. Well, we'll try to agree not to disagree. That's the whole gospel of that kingdom, see? That's Satan's perspective. Kill, steal, and to destroy. But you have been freed from that, okay, by the circumcision of Christ. And now you're tethered to his kingdom by the angel of righteousness. And now you're increasing from the grace of his throne. Now, these are the things that you rejoice in. Glory into glory, grace into grace. Because now Jesus Christ is our boast. Okay, before we boasted, when we boasted in our moral code, it has to do with our achievements and the honor and flattery of man. But now our boasting is of Christ, okay, which of course we testify of. This is what we have on the student board, see? We're testifying of Christ. We're testifying of his work, tethering and tutoring of his kingdom. Okay? Okay? For our gospel is not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1. So he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, okay, but through this tethering and tutoring, that all things, that the tools of the covenant work together, our faith is now tethered to the tools, the spiritual things, and these things work for good, as concerning fruit-bearing, to them that love God and express that charity. So you're increasing faith, abounding in charity, you're keeping his commandments, you're increasing the kingdom of God, you are saved. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That you can rejoice in, see? Our confidence is in him. Okay, because we rely on God's consistency to where this is where our trust is developed. We rely on the consistency of God because he is truth, as the Lord has sworn by himself, I am the Lord and I change not. His consistency we rely on, his covenant, okay, is which we are anchored in. Okay, his covenant which we are anchored in gives us great confidence before him. Okay, so according to his purpose. Now let's jump back in Ephesians again. Okay, till we all come in the unity of the faith. This is we got all that just out of these few verses right here. Of the knowledge, see, there's the holy knowledge there, because it's from God's perspective, from the perspective of the throne. That's why he says in the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay, Jesus, the Son of God, is not in the earth. He's not buried in the earth any longer. Jesus physically rose from the dead on the third day, as the scriptures declare. Okay, and by which witness we have received, as Jesus said, I'm going to go unto my Father, and when I go, I'm going to send forth my, I'm going to come again to you, but I'm going to come in another form. Okay, I'm going to come in the form of what I'm going to title the Comforter. This Comforter is going to assist you in a transition of flesh, from flesh to spirit. Okay, it's going to, and through this transition, okay, I will manifest myself to you. And as you continue to keep my commandments, my joy will be fruitful within you. Okay, because you're going to go, you're going to continue on and progress in this form of fellowship on cycles of your growth. Okay, unto the perfect man. Now you can understand what the word perfect man means here in verse 13. The perfect man is that which who is active in the terms of the covenant. As you're acting in the terms of the covenant, you're meeting God's standard. Now look what he says here, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now you have his fullness, we're partaking of his fullness, we receive his fullness, we grow in his fullness, and we receive the reward of his fullness. That's awaiting us. The fullness of the inheritance is what we're waiting for. But in order to receive the reward, the fullness of his inheritance, we must partake of his fullness now. You can't partake of him in part, which is the tithe. You can't partake of him in part with his baptisms of water. You can't partake of him in part, okay, which is the communions of bread and of wine, that of the flesh and the altar of Moses. All those portions pointed to his fullness, which now we have received, as John declared, and grace for grace. Okay, if you don't partake of his fullness now of the Spirit, how can you partake of his fullness the inheritance later? You can't. Okay, you will be denied entrance into the holy city. Okay, you will not receive okay, those things which he spoke of here, all things which are written in that book. If you want to receive all things of the blessings, then you must partake of all things of his blessings. Okay? But if you only partake of his fullness, then you're transgressing against God, and your name will not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll die in your sins. Okay, you, in other words, you'll die in darkness. Dying in darkness doesn't mean you're going to inherit light. You must partake of his light to inherit that light. Okay, because only light go into light. That's what Jesus said. Okay, I'm going to my Father. Now, if Jesus became the devil on the cross, then he would never be going to his Father because Jesus became darkness. Now, how can darkness redeem us? It can't. Darkness can't redeem us. It's darkness that defiled us. Okay, darkness defiled us. That's why we had to come into his light. Okay, now, this is what the Apostle John brings out in his first epistle. Okay, it's concerning his light and life. And we have life. We received of his light, and we have his life. Okay, let's go on here in verse 14. Okay, that we henceforth be no more children. Now, the word children right there has to do with being double-minded. I brought that out earlier. Okay, being double-minded is that you're trying to, the severing of the work of his circumcision within you is not completed yet. Okay, that means you're not converted yet. Okay, you're still being bounced back and forth. Okay, being bounced back and forth is what the Apostle John addresses in the first epistle. Okay, first epistle and first chapter. Okay, because he that says he is light and walks in darkness is blind. Okay, and now we see this in 1 John chapter 1. Okay, this is a message that you heard from the beginning. Okay, which we have, now in 1 John, I just jumped over there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is a message which we have heard of him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay, now this is the message. This is the gospel which I'm preaching to you now, which the Apostle John is addressing to for the fellowship of the saints, which he wrote this to. He said he was fellowshipping with them and exchanging the substance of grace. And he knew those which were dining on the substance of the Spirit, and those which were dining on the substance of flesh. Those which dine on the substance of flesh are double-minded, as little children. Okay, they have, it's like they're holding, they want to be saved. Okay, they want to be saved, and they're making efforts, you could say, noble efforts to be saved, but yet they're still holding on to these things over here which they had confidence in the kingdom of darkness. And this is what Paul was bringing out. The Apostle Paul said the same thing. Okay, little children. John uses the word little children. Paul uses the word little children. And we also use the word little children. Okay, little children. See, we see the different stages of your growth. Okay, as he said in chapter 2, verse 12. Then I'll come back to chapter 1 here in a moment. Okay, so he says in 1 John chapter 2, I write to you, little children, because your sins have been given you for his name's sake. Verse 13, I write to you, fathers, because you've known him this from the beginning. Verse 13 again, I write to you young men because you overcome the wicked one. Verse 13 again, I write to you little children because you have known the Father. Verse 14, I have written to you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and have overcome the wicked one. So you can see the different stages of your growth. This is what Paul brings out also in Colossians. You're being translated from darkness to light. Okay, being translated... Okay, it comes through the healing of the soul, but you have to participate in the assembly, in the priesthood, for these cycles of growth to continue on. Now, if you want your joy to be full, you have to continue to apply to yourselves. Okay, and one of the most important things, which I will emphasize again and again, is your prayer life. Right, praying in the Spirit is vitally important. Okay, if you're just beginning, start with 15 minutes a day. Next week, go 30 minutes a day. Week after that, go to an hour a day. All right, you have to build, okay, you can say a tolerance for it. Okay, you have to build it. You have to build a tolerance, okay, and you have to build, okay, a good habits. Right? You have to build good habits with these things. And this is where you begin, building good habits in the kingdom of God. When we lived in a kingdom of darkness, nothing was required of you other than just paying your tithe and sitting in a pew. And maybe if you felt like it, you might want to prophesy. Okay? So those things which you did in the kingdom of darkness did not build a healthy appetite. Okay? Now you're coming into covenant with God. Now you're responsible. Okay? And being responsible, okay, you have to build an appetite. Okay? So little children, okay, they're still dining on things which are not, you say, particularly healthy for them. Okay, but there, as the Apostle Paul also brings out, I have fed you with milk, not with meat. We read that earlier, and you have also seen the book of Hebrews. Okay, in Hebrews also he brings the same thing out. It's concerning babes. Alright, for when you ought to be teachers, you have need again which to be taught these very first things, these first principles. And I'm in Hebrews chapter 5. Okay, and as verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Okay, this is where the weaning process begins, developing good habits. You must develop good prayer habits. You have to do it. You're not going to be saved if you don't. You have to use all the tools. You have to utilize every article in the armory of God. Okay, which begins with truth. Having your loins girt about with truth. Okay, then in other words, your conscience must be pure. If your conscience isn't pure, then the whole heart is going to be full of darkness, as Jesus brought out. Now, from the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as need of milk and not strong meat. Now, if you want strong meat, okay, then you have to develop good habits. Okay, and everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, little children. Okay, because he's doubting the source of information. He's doubting the source of information. He's not able yet to discern between the voice of God and the voice of Wilson. Okay, or the voice of his own conscience. Okay, he's not able to discern these things yet. Okay, that's just the beginning. Okay, that's just the very first principles he says right here. Okay, that's not the meat. That's just the first principles. Okay, you'll know what it is as to be fathers as you continue to progress. Okay, and it takes a long time for a sapling to become a tree. Okay, it takes a long time for a sapling to become a tree because a tree starts to bear forth fruit. Okay, and we're identifying those watermarks in your own Christian life. Okay, now let's go back here First John. Okay, where I was at in First John. Okay, so in First John, in chapter 1, okay, I was bringing those things out as concerning the little children. Okay, for this is a message you heard from the beginning. This is the message that you've heard from us. Okay, apostles, government. So these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we have heard of him. I'm in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 again. And declare unto you that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. Now if we say, now he's talking to little children here, that we have fellowship with him as dining on the same substance and walk in darkness, which means we're using the moral code and a precept for fellowship, then we are liar. Okay, that means we're using the record of our own soul, the moral code, and precept, when he says here, and do not the truth, okay, which has to do with that foundation was laid in the heart, okay, and the gifts of callings, the grace of God, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, okay, those things, okay, we lie and do not the truth. Now, if we walk in the light using these tools, then we're going to progress as we fellowship. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, remember, light only comes in light. Only light can come in the light. Okay, if we carry the testimony of man, then we're not carrying the testimony of Christ. The testimony of man is preached every Sunday, particularly in the pulpits, because they're continually addressing the sin issue, the strife issue, the envy issue. It says, let's deal with the strife that's in your life. Okay, well, that's the gospel according to Adam. That's the gospel according to flesh. That's the gospel of Satan. Okay, because all it is addressing is the issues and relationships, the moral code. Okay, now if you want to walk in the light, then we have to address those things which has to do with that foundation in the heart, which you're receiving now. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work should be manifest, for the day should declare it. Okay, the day should declare it. Now, this is a day that's going to be declared. The day that declares it is the time of the assembly. Okay, the time of the assembly is going to declare what is laid in that foundation. Okay, what is in your foundation? Is your foundation gold, silver, and precious stones? Okay, then the words will be light and life. But if that which is in the foundation is wood, hay, and stubble, then everything that comes out is going to be consumed by death, envy, strife, division. Okay, even your prophecies will be ordered according to those things. Okay. Now, he that is spiritual is able to judge this, but yet he that is of the carnal-minded Carnal-mindedness, a natural man, okay, cannot determine these things. They can't determine the sources. We can determine the sources. It's easy. Okay? But he that walks in light, as he is in a light, we have fellowship one with another. See, we have the communion which we're building with. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, the work of regeneration continues, right, to remove all things that offend God from our soul. By the work of regeneration. Now let's go back to Ephesians. Okay, hopefully we'll get at least one more verse in here. All right. But that you henceforth, we talked about there in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, as Paul brings out, as John brings out, okay, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now you see where children are at. The tossing has to do with their double-mindedness. The double-mindedness has to do with the resources of which kingdom. They're not able to discern yet. Okay, but the discernment to the children has to do with that which is beneficial to the aspiration. Okay, and then they go on their feelings. Well, I really don't feel this is of the Lord. Okay, now all you gotta do is listen to what they're saying. Now you just communicate to me that you're using your feelings as an anchor, okay, for your point of discernment, which works the moral code. That's why you're as being tossed to and fro. Okay, the anchor is supposed to be in Christ. It's supposed to be in truth. Okay, not in your feelings. Okay? And this is what they discern by. And then they also use the precept for the discernment. But the precept is joined to the moral code. So it always comes down to how they feel. Okay, and that feeling is where Satan dominates their perceptions. And that's why they try to stone Jesus. Okay, because the being tethered to Satan's perception, they're using the precept with the moral code, and Jesus says, you must be established in me in my record. You can't be, the record of Moses, okay, will not cleanse the conscience, mine will. Okay, it's my record as eternal life, not yours. Okay, so little children, that you henceforth be no more little children. So he says right here, the determining factor is what you will to be done. That's the determining factor. Do you want to grow in Christ? Do you want to bring forth 100-fold? If you want to bring 100-fold, then you have to be responsible to the covenant. Okay, if you want to be little children, okay, if you want to be little children, then you're going to be tossed to and fro, and you're always going to stand in doubt of your salvation. You're always going to say, brother, am I saved? Okay, if you have to ask me that question, then the answer is obviously no. You're not saved. You have to come in covenant. Because your conscience is crying out against you. That's why you're asking the question. Okay, you're saved as long as your conscience is purged. Okay, and that's why it says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their conscience is defiled, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Titus there. Even the works are abomination to God, okay, which Paul says too. Okay, every good work is reprobate. Okay, even the good things that they do, you know, okay, feeding the poor, taking care of the widows, is defiled. Everything that they do is from the defiled conscience. They're doing works of contrition, not works of faith. James was writing in James chapter 1, James was writing to those, okay, of those which are coming in a covenant and those which are under his stewardship. Okay, as concerning concerning caring for the widows and helping the fathers and widows in their affliction. He was talking to Christians. Okay, but you know those that work by precept and the moral code, they try to do the same thing, and they're trying to bring contrition and trying to clear their conscience by those works. See, that's the difference in that. Okay, we do it because of covenant. They do it because of the moral code. And because they do it the moral code, they are blind to righteousness. Because they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, and so in Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but either mind and conscience is defiled. See the word of mind and conscience. Okay, the soul is not being fed because the conscience is defiled, and the will has nothing to work with but with carnal things. Okay, so it's crying out against him. God calls to the conscience, stand forth. And the conscience, instead of standing forth, hides itself. It wants to shield itself because it lost its light. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Defiled. By what? False knowledge. And unbelieving. Why are they unbelieving? because they're not carrying the yoke of Jesus. Okay, they're not carrying the yoke of Jesus. They're carrying the yoke of their own precept and moral code, which the moral code consists of many ingredients, including your associations, your relationships, your traditions and customs, okay, and the law, okay, the law of Moses. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto the defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even mind and conscience is defiled, the moral code. They profess that they know God. They say they love Jesus, okay, but yet the substance of fellowship is absent. Okay, they're trying to impose fellowship with aspiration. If you try to impose fellowship with aspiration, your whole fellowship is going to center around bake sales, okay, and yard sales, okay, and also any other acts of contrition. Okay, it centers around that. That's the moral code. Okay, but either mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. The works has to do with the works of your priesthood. And the priesthood is the priesthood of Melchizedek is absent of their activity, and therefore in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. Okay, well, I see we have gone over our time here, okay, but just to reiterate, just shortly, just for 1 second here, and verse, and now I'm back to Ephesians. I do want to complete verse 14, okay, and I'm making a note right here. This is where we're going to end this morning. That you henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, which are brought out earlier as considering ministers of unrighteousness, and cunning craftiness, which is, it is how they package the precept with the moral code that makes a person feel worthy of God's, okay, of God's goodness, worthy of God's reward. But that's an error, because only Christ is worthy of the goodness of God, and that's why we must be engrafted with Him. Okay, and they, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We'll pick up in chapter 4, verse 15 next week.